All right, we're back with Blue Cirrus Telehealth Radio and our show sponsor, Michelle Hager from Blue Cirrus Consultants with us. So far, the show has been great, Michelle, don't you think?
Absolutely. I loved our first two guests. They always give us so much insight on telehealth strategies and how to provide affordable access to healthcare. Really great to talk to them.
Yeah. And please remember to mark your calendar for the 8th annual Northeast Telehealth Resource Center Conference on 9/29 and September 30th in Southbridge, Mass. So our next guest tonight is Eric Wicklund, who is the Innovation and Technology Editor for Health Leaders. We last spoke to Eric at the ATA conference last May in Boston. Eric does a lot of healthcare news and updates all over the country. You will find Eric's articles on LinkedIn and other social media sites. Hi, Eric. How you doing? What have you been up to?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm just getting, just starting to enjoy the fall weather finally.
You got some fall leaves falling up there in Maine, I'm sure, and we're maybe starting at this point.
We're getting this in that direction. It's nice after a hot and dry summer to finally be able to move to flannel and fleece.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Michelle and I are planning to travel up to Maine end of September, so we're looking forward to that. But please tell us about some of your recent experiences now working with health leaders and some insight on the articles you've written for them, such as the article I read where you worked with Atrium Health, Wake Forest Baptist, titled Health Systems Are Using Digital Health Tools in the Electronic Health Record to Not Only Monitor Staff Health and Track Compliance, but Give Employees an Avenue to Manage Their Wellness and Connect with Supervisors. What were some of the key takeaways you got from this research on digital health tools? And does it work for private industry employers?
I would assume it does work for private industry employers too. This story kind of highlights two trends that we're seeing in healthcare right now. First is the idea that health systems are turning to automation. The EHR, the electronic health record, was for so long a bugaboo in healthcare because it didn't work the way clinicians wanted it to. Doctors hated it. They felt it took away from addressing patient care. Now, with the advances in technology, there's a lot better. There are a lot better EHRs out there, better platforms, more intuitive technology. So I think health systems are starting to come around to the idea that they can use this technology to improve processes and to automate things that used to be done manually. In this specific case, they're working with occupational health. They're improving monitoring of vaccinations to make sure everybody at the hospital's got their flu shots before flu season kicks into gear. And of course, we all know what happens when a virus takes hold and kind of screws everything up. So they're doing that. They're also creating a platform that their staff can use to monitor their health and wellness. And this hits to the bigger trend in that healthcare is struggling right now with burnout and stress amongst the ranks. And the more technology that can be applied to this to try to help overworked doctors and nurses take better care of themselves by giving them the resources online that they can use to access behavioral health help, advice, even virtual visits, anything that the health system can do to improve the health and wellness of its staff. I think they've realized now that a health system has to care as much for its own employees as it does for the patients that they treat.
You're very right there. I think that, your first point around the EMR, where that was such a challenge for clinicians as we, kind of the advent of everybody's got to go electronic health record, and really the software, the technology wasn't really advanced enough at that point. So now we've seen the evolution over the last 10 or more years of that technology. And I think people stopped doing something like making the EMR everything. It is a clinical documentation system. And then so these other systems can connect to it and stop trying to make the EMR be the end all be all. But I think the even more important point that you're bringing up is this idea of workforce burnout that, obviously Atrium's trying to work out. How do we, best reach our employees? How do we best serve our employees to maintain their own health? And of course, then be able to take care of the community. this idea of the great resignation, we've seen a lot of healthcare workers for a variety of reasons. So not just, you know, challenges with COVID or concerns about vaccines, but overworked. They were already close to being retirement age, et cetera. What do you think is, what are your thoughts on how we can continue to push innovation to try to address some of these things and do more with less without, you know, without any patient care risk?
Telehealth is going to be play a huge role in that going forward. Not only, well, in one sense, you're using these types of platforms now to improve access to care, reach out into communities, help patients accessing care. A telehealth platform is also a strong tool in improving a clinician's workload. They can do so much more with telehealth that is theoretically less stressful than trying to manage the constant stream of patients coming into the hospital, into the ER, into the doctor's office, into the clinic. There's so much more that can be done with these, with virtual visits, with telehealth, with remote patient monitoring to improve that daily workload of physicians and physicians, nurses, any staff in the hospital. And that'll go a long way towards reducing some of the stress. Beyond that, though, these platforms give people on-demand access to tips on how to manage stress, resources, videos on what to do. You can we're talking now about just giving people more access to the tools they need to manage their lives, and that goes for doctors, nurses, hospital staff, to patients as well. The idea that you can have so much more, there's so much more available to you now to try to figure out what to do and how to do it. The idea of virtual visits, on-demand connections to a healthcare, a behavioral health provider when you're really stressful or stressed out or, you know, really feeling down in the dumps, and you can connect with somebody, talk it out with them. These platforms can be used for peer groups. We're seeing a lot of use for substance abuse disorder treatment.
Yes.
Just the idea, you know, you've got these people that something comes along and they usually there's nothing to do. You've got to fight yourself. You got to fight through your demons yourself.
Right.
Now you can access a peer. You can access a doctor. You can access a resource online, a YouTube video, what to do when you're in this situation.
At the right time.
Yes. At the right time. When you need it the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. And we recently talked about AI and machine learning being added to healthcare and how important that was. And the benefits from that were outstanding. But I also know the pandemic certainly didn't help positive revenues for hospitals. I read a very interesting article written recently on your Health Leaders website by Amanda Schiavo, who is the finance editor for Health Leaders. And it was titled 2022. To become worse financial year hospitals have experienced. Why is that? Can you help explain to the listeners?
Certainly, yeah. Reading from my colleague's story, she pointed out that, you know, between June and July of this year, the hospital financial performance has plunged. That followed months of improvements too. What hospitals are seeing now is a lot of declining outpatient revenue. Inpatient stays are expensive. Again, a nod to telehealth, remote patient monitoring, the hospital at home program, and decreasing operating room time. And that's all from the latest National Hospital Flash report from Kaufman Hall. Amanda reported that the year-to-date operating margin index was negative 0.98%. And that's the seventh consecutive month of negative actual operating margins. Operating room minutes fell 10.3% from June 2022, and the average length of stay rose 2% from June and 3.4% from July 2021. It's a sign the hospitals are treating sicker patients, and emergency department visits are increasing. I hate to use that phrase, but it's a perfect storm right now. We're coming out of the pandemic. Hospitals are just seeing the surge in business again. And they're struggling right now to put the protocols in place to treat patients that should be treated in the hospital and to start using some of these new services and technologies to kind of start treating patients at home.
I think there's also probably a bit of a patient phenomenon as well. I'm certainly clinician squeeze, right? Where we talked about already the workforce where clinicians are retiring or potentially moving into other clinical fields. So this is creating part of the financial hardships that we're seeing and creating the stresses around it. But I think also patients are making decisions. Maybe we didn't do that. You know, I don't know if people really know, but a lot of the revenues that happen in a hospital system are because of procedures and surgeries. And if you don't do an elective procedure, or if procedures and surgeries are slowed down because of clinical workforce challenges or because of potential exposures, et cetera, all of that just squeezes, and the hospitals run on such thin margins. It's not a conversation I haven't had with every single institution that we're working with that, you know, they're really looking at squeezed margins this year and just a tough 2022 where you'd think we're physically coming out of, you know, the pandemic.
Yeah, everybody pushed everything off because of the pandemic, and now everybody's going back. You know, we always talk about virtual visits being an ideal replacement to in-person, but there are a lot of people out there that actually do want to see their doctor in person. And they're going back for these. And it's kind of a swing. You're swinging, the pendulum has swung in the other direction now. And that's right. And we're going to have to find that balance in between why you need to go to the hospital and how, and when you just, we can do something virtually or connect with a doctor, not without having to go to the clinic or the doctor's office or so on and so forth.
Yeah, you mentioned something earlier. I just wanted to touch on too that kind of goes back, but you were talking about, you know, accessing patient education and accessing some of the other patient-centered tools that you know, that these systems can have from a telehealth perspective. Now it's a bit more, I thought that was a great thing for our listeners to be able to be aware of, because it's really this movement to patient managed care, right? Mm-hmm. We've sort of talked about this for a while, that there's a consumerism in telehealth and healthcare, which I personally am not a fan of, because if I'm not actually paying for it, then I'm not actually consuming it and my insurance company is paying for it. So, you know, or I might have a little bit of a copay or whatever, but that for me, that's a little different. But I wonder what your perspective is on, you know, some of these tools that we see that allow patients in the innovation space, that allow patients to take better care of themselves. And I see all of the new, you know, the Apple Watches, the Google Watches, the whatever tools, anything from the AFib, you know, put your fingers on there, or now it's coming on your Apple Watch or Google Watch. What are you seeing from an innovation space in there, and what's exciting to you?
I think both sides, both care providers and patients, will agree that a patient who is better managed, who is better able to manage his or her own care, will manage it better than just, you know, laying everything at the hands of the doctor and say, take care of me.
Yeah.
This is especially true of people with chronic conditions who they're living with this condition every day of their lives, and they got to learn what to look for, what to watch out for. How to eat, how to exercise, and so how to, you know, everything. And these tools that enable them to do a little bit more tracking of their own health. And not only that, but tracking their health and then sharing that information with their care providers, with their care teams, that creates a much more collaborative approach to healthcare. Physicians certainly are going to will certainly appreciate a patient who knows a little bit more about what he or she is doing. So that will make care management so much easier. And when both sides are working on this, the outcomes down the road will be much better. Someone who is managing his or her diabetes on a daily basis and doing the right things will not have those serious health concerns, or should not have those serious health concerns down the road. So you've got these, the Apple Watch, even the Fitbit, anything that can, you're getting blood glucose monitors that are digital now, that are wireless, that can store this information and digitally send it to your care teams. There are a lot of wireless devices out there, and there are a lot more coming onto the market too. All of that, but the most importantly is just that connection with the care team.
Yeah.
On demand, you know, if you want texting or so on and so forth, just so that you maintain a steady connected care presence throughout the day to prevent a patient from slipping down or following a trend that goes to a bad health concern. And so you're going to see more of these connected health devices. You're going to see sensor embedded. There's going to be sensor embedded clothing eventually.
I agree.
The smart clothing, home. Yeah. The whole smart home concept, you know, some of these sensors in the home now that can tell you when to take your medication, Alexa can ask me if I'm feeling okay. And if the answer strikes a little chord, if I say, yeah, but that, but it's going to AI technology, there is going to seize on that and say, okay, would you like to speak to somebody? Or how about looking at this video or reading this resource about what to do when you're depressed? Things like that. There's more and more of that coming into play. It's all the idea of care management, patient self-management is part of the whole equation.
Excellent. Before we wrap this interview up, what's coming up the rest of the year? You keep a close eye on the pulse of healthcare. What do you, what's exciting? What's coming up?
Well, obviously, we're getting back into the in-person meetings again. Thank goodness. They're going to be, HLTH always has a big event each year, and I think that previously they've been in Boston. They're going to be in Vegas. CES in Vegas in January is going to be huge, and this is just what we talked about too. Yep. A lot of these digital health, patient-facing, consumer-facing digital health tools are going to be there. American Telemedicine Association, we met this year in Boston. They're going to be out in San Antonio next year, which is always a fun place to visit. Beyond that, I guess some of the biggest thing we want to watch out for is CMS, Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, is coming out with this physician's fee schedule for next year. And in that, there's a lot of changes for reimbursing telehealth, remote patient monitoring. This is where the growth of the industry is going to come from. If CMS can get around to reimbursing physicians through Medicare and Medicaid for these services. And right now there's a lot of back and forth about whether CMS feels that a lot of these tools and devices are providing value enough for them to reimburse doctors for using them.
More data, more studies,
the results of projects, pilot projects, programs going on now. Boston, of course, is a hotbed for digital health and these types of projects. So that's a lot. What a lot of us are going to focus on is what CMS is doing.
Well, I'll stay tuned and be keeping up to date on the Health Leaders Media website. Eric, thank you for joining our show tonight. I appreciate your time. We always want to provide our listeners with helpful information on this show, and I appreciate your help today regarding the latest news on telehealth across the country. The website is healthleadersmedia.com and find daily articles written by Eric Wicklund and other great publishers at Health Leaders. Have a great rest of your week, and let's follow up again. Thank you, Eric.
Oh, thank you, Joe. And thanks, Michelle.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Blue Sirius Radio Show on 95.9 FM WATD.